Welcome to the Fashion Law Network podcast series. My name is Kasia Zabrowska-Traubin. I'm a patent attorney and fashion enthusiast based in Los Angeles, California. Join me as I break down legal cases, discuss recent fashion news, and demystify patent law. Hello, everyone, and welcome to the latest episode of the Fashion Law Network podcast series. As always, thank you so much for tuning in. As always, I appreciate it. And this episode is all about the Hermès Fashion House and a lawsuit that has been all over the news. My Instagram, I've had friends sending me various articles relating to it. Lots of YouTube personalities are reporting on it. However, there have not been too many legal weigh-ins on it. So here I am to the rescue, which of course is my pleasure, as I've been fascinated by this lawsuit since it was filed very recently on March 19th, 2024. So this is a class action antitrust anti-competition based lawsuit, which was started by two San Francisco residents named Tina Cavallari and Mark Glenoga. And they are accusing Hermès of running an alleged scheme that only allows consumers with, quote, sufficient purchase history to buy a Birkin bag from Hermès, making it way too exclusive to be purchased. So in the United States, antitrust law is a collection of mostly federal laws that regulate the conduct and organization of businesses to promote competition and also to prevent unjustified monopolies by a company. So specifically, this lawsuit alleges that each plaintiff attempted to purchase a Birkin on various occasions, and on each of these occasions that they wanted to make these purchases, they were denied by the Hermès sales associate, and they were directed to purchase other products, so to build up a purchase history that would prove to be sufficient so they could then purchase a Hermès Birkin bag. So plaintiffs Tina and Mark allege that Hermès makes buyers purchase other luxury items from Hermès, like scarves, jewelry, home goods first, just to get the chance to then purchase a Birkin bag, which they allege goes against antitrust laws, as it's wrong to, quote, tie one product to another to boost sales. So in the fashion world, in my experience, the journey to getting a Birkin or another one of these quota or crown jewel Hermès items is very full, with lots of YouTube videos, TikTok videos that offer tips for followers on how to get one of these items. For example, there's these videos called Hermès Storytime, How I Got My Hermès Birkin. There's various vlogs of Hermès enthusiasts who visit the Hermès Paris store, and they show off in their vlog what was offered to them during these store visits. There's also an alleged Hermès lottery appointment process, which was quite interesting, that I came across while doing research for this episode. And according to foundfashion.com, she states that, we all know that scoring an Hermès Birkin or Kelly on your first visit will be impossible. Of course, you can try, but be prepared to be politely but bluntly shut down by the sales associate. So then it goes on to state that Hermès in Paris is unique because here you will find that they offer an online lottery system in order to get a leather goods appointment. And with their abundance of bags at their flagship store on Faubourg Saint-Honoré, you're likely to be offered something. So foundfashion.com goes on to talk about how this lottery system works. So essentially, it seems like the day before you visit the Hermès Faubourg Saint-Honoré dedicated website between 10:30 a.m. and 6:30 p.m. the day before you'd like the appointment, I guess there's a link, you fill in your details, including your passport number, and then in the evening, so the day before your appointment, you will supposedly get an email letting you know whether or not you have secured an appointment. And then she writes, Don't get too disheartened. It's not easy. Keep trying until you get one. A purchase history at Hermes is not essential, but we think it definitely helps. Luck is a big factor in securing the perfect bag. So that was quite interesting. I had never heard of a lottery appointment system before. And as I mentioned before, a part of this lawsuit centers on this concept of tying. This may not be familiar to everyone. I was not overly familiar with it when I first started delving into this lawsuit. Essentially, it's a term that's associated with antitrust law, and it's defined as existing when the seller of a product requires a purchaser to take another product as well. So some examples that I saw were how hotels do this tying practice. So you can get a room with a breakfast. This concept of tying can have both positive and negative impacts. For example, typically in the hotel sense, if you get a room with a breakfast, you get a lower price on the breakfast than if you were to purchase the breakfast on its own in addition to the hotel room. Also, according to the Federal Trade Commission website, ftc.gov, typically the tied product may be a less desirable one that the buyer might not purchase unless required to do so, or may prefer to get from a different seller. If the seller offering the tied products has sufficient market power in the tying product, these arrangements can violate the antitrust laws. So in our Hermes situation, I'm assuming that the plaintiffs, Tina and Mark, are referring to the scarves and the jewelry from Hermes that they had to buy in order to be eligible to purchase the Birkin bag. So those ancillary Hermes products would be called the, quote, tying products to the Birkin bag. And there is an example of this tying arrangement that does violate antitrust laws that the FTC gives. So I'll just give a brief synopsis of that situation, which is quite interesting. So a few years ago, the FTC challenged a drug maker that required patients to purchase its blood monitoring device along with a medicine to treat schizophrenia. The drug maker was the only producer of the medicine, but there were lots of other companies that could provide blood monitoring service to patients using that schizophrenia drug. At the end, the FTC claimed that tying the drug to the blood monitoring service raised the price of the medical treatment, and it prevented independent providers from monitoring patients taking the schizophrenia drug. So, at the end, the drug maker settled the charges by agreeing not to prevent other companies from providing blood monitoring services. Now, it's hard to compare this case to this pharmaceutical case, because in that pharmaceutical case, it could have obviously had a huge major adverse impact on people's life and health due to the monitoring of patients by providers. Obviously, getting an Hermes bag is not a matter of life or death. Now, just to be fair, in my opinion, I don't think Hermes is the only company that does this, quote, tying of one product to another, to purchase another, essentially to create an allure of scarcity or exclusivity. I know LVMH and their umbrella of brands, a lot of high fashion brands do something kind of like this, I think. Now, I did an episode back in, I think it was in 2022, it was called Cult of Hermes, and I had a podcast guest on that episode, and we discussed her Hermes journey, lots of information about the Hermes Kelly and Birkin bags. My guest was also a fellow patent attorney based here in Los Angeles, and she gave her story of shopping at Hermes and trying to get one of these quota bags. So I'm going to insert that clip in here now so you guys can kind of have some background information before we delve into the details of this fascinating lawsuit. So here we go with that clip. Really unique Hermes business model. Of course, we already know that they rarely advertise, but Cheryl, give us your insights. You have a lot of knowledge and experience with this.
Yeah. So I went down the Hermes path a while ago, and here's, you know, and the reason why I went down this path of, you know, being fully absorbed in the business and, you know, being a very loyal customer is that I found that Hermes quota bags are some of the most fascinating examples I have seen of a Veblen good. And when I say Hermes quota bags, I'm talking about the Birkin, the Kelly, and the Constance. Birkin and Kellys are a little bit more difficult to get, but but Constance is difficult too. So what I mean by a Veblen good is if you don't know what that is, it is a term in economics describing a good that as its price increases, the demand also increases, which is kind of odd, right? Especially in the US where free market competition is encouraged in order to drive prices down. Think Walmart, think, various suppliers competing for a buyer, in which case those prices go down. And in our economy, specifically in the United States, we specifically look for levers such as IP protection to stop some of that free market competition to keep prices up of certain goods that have IP protection. We think pharmaceutical products, right? So there's IP protection in order to keep a certain price on that product to stop competition, essentially. In this case, Hermes quota bags are subject to free market competition, and yet as they increase their prices, the demand increases, making it the classic Veblen good. The reason why I think that they are, very good at this is because it's such a status symbol that even if there are knockoffs, people want the real thing, the quota bag that comes from Hermes specifically. So, it's not about the look of the bag. It's like it came, it's the bag that came from Hermes. Well, why is that? Well, I've been asking myself this question since I jumped into the Hermes Wonderland, and here's some observations. When I decided to start going to Hermes and seriously shop, I found that it was near impossible to get anyone at that store to help you unless you were already an established client. But I didn't know anyone, so it took me a few tries and several thousand dollars before I found a sales associate I could click with at the store. Well, what does that do? To me, that means it got me to invest in that store in the specific essay, right? Because I invested time and I spent money at that store. So when you invest in something, you're more committed to getting an outcome of it. And the outcome in this case for Hermes would be like getting one of those quota bags. So I've noticed that I've spent several thousand dollars here and time getting into a few sales associates. And making that investment. And then, eventually I was in, as in like, I had a contact in the store. I've gotten his number and he actually responds to me. And then I start to learn a few things about the store. And so now I'm now a customer of that store and I'm invested. So, and they don't need to advertise to me because I've already invested in the store and I don't have to, I know that I'm going to be a loyal member of that store because I've already put in so much money and time into visiting the place. And so, given that it was so difficult and expensive to get into the store in the first place, I have, at this point, with or without anyone advertising to me, I have no intention of abandoning my client profile with my sales associate at the Hermes Beverly Hills store. However, I just wanted to say that I have no regrets in this, by the way. I don't think that Hermes did anything wrong, nor do I feel like I was taken advantage of. I went into this eyes wide open, understanding what the business model was and also talking to people who were loyal customers of Hermes. And to me, I view this as I do any other investments. If I can leave any piece of advice to anyone, by the way, listening, do your homework before you throw your hand in the game. It is a game. And if you're prepared, you'll love it. If not, the experience may not be the most pleasant.
Okay, so now that we have some background on at least one person's account of the Hermes journey, let's turn to this complaint that was filed on March 19th, 2022. It's 17 pages. Obviously, I'm not going to read the whole complaint here, but essentially it is a class action lawsuit. And by way of just general law, a class action lawsuit is defined as a legal proceeding in which one or more plaintiffs bring a lawsuit on behalf of a larger group known as the class. So I guess in this situation, the class would be anyone who purchased all these ancillary Hermes products and could not get a Birkin bag. Any proceeds from the class action suit after legal fees, whether judgment or settlement, are shared among all the members of the class. So essentially some key points of a class action lawsuit are That the class action refers to a legal course where the plaintiff brings forward a lawsuit for the benefit of a larger group of affected people. Class actions are typically the only way for some individuals to pursue their claims because it lowers the cost of a legal pursuit. And if a plaintiff wins, awards are paid out among members of the class, but they may not be awards in necessarily equal amounts. So this group or class, they also have to attest that they were affected by the defendant's action, but only the lead plaintiff. So in this case, Mark and Tina will try the case in court. So on the first page of the complaint, we see it as a class action, and it says complaint for violation of the Sherman Act. The Sherman Act is an antitrust act, and it was the first federal act that outlawed monopolistic business practices. The complaint is for item 2, violation of the Cartwright Act. Cartwright Act is the California version of antitrust law, similar to Sherman Act. States that it's illegal to restrict commerce, prevent competition, or enter agreements to lessen competition. Then we also have violation of the unfair competition law, similar. So the complaint starts with some background on the Birkin and Kelly bags and alleges that, and I'm going to read straight from the complaint for this part because it's written quite well. Each Birkin bag is handcrafted from the finest leather by experienced artisans in France. The manufacturing of a single Birkin bag requires many hours of an artisan's time. The intensive labor and craftsmanship and high-quality leathers required to make the Birkin bag make it difficult to produce and expensive. The price of a Birkin bag can vary from thousands of dollars to over $100,000. The desirability of a Hermès Birkin bag, a symbol of rarefied wealth, is such that not even a global pandemic can dull demand for it. In the second quarter of 2021, Hermès's sales for the leather and saddlery division, which includes the Birkin bags, more than doubled from a year ago and rose by 24% from their pre-pandemic June 2019 levels. This, of course, these are my own comments now, was not only for Hermès, as we know if you are a regular listener to this podcast series, almost every high fashion luxury group experienced major sales during the pandemic. So the fact that Hermès's price during the pandemic rose by 24% is not unusual compared to other companies. But anyway, we continue. We get to the crux of the lawsuit. It's item C, and the title is Defendant's Illegal Tying with the Birkin Bag. Now, we discussed what tying was in relation to the definition we got from the Federal Trade Commission. And the complaint goes on to allege, and I'm quoting straight from the complaint again here, the unique desirability, incredible demand, and low supply of Birkin bags gives defendants incredible market power. Defendants, Hermès, implemented a scheme to exploit this market power by requiring consumers to purchase other ancillary products from defendants before they will be given an opportunity to purchase a Birkin bag. With this scheme, defendants were able to effectively increase the price of Birkin handbags and thus the profits that defendants earn from Birkin handbags. Birkin handbags cannot be purchased from defendants through the Hermès website. Instead, consumers can only purchase Birkin handbags from defendants by physically going to an Hermès retail store. However, unlike most consumer products and most other products sold by defendants, consumers cannot simply walk into an Hermès retail store, pick out a Birkin bag and purchase it. Birkin bags are never publicly displayed for sale at Hermès retail stores. Indeed, it is often the case that there are no Birkin handbags at all at the Hermès retail stores, or if there are, there's only one, two, or at most three Birkin handbags. But even if there are Birkin handbags at a particular Hermès retail store, the handbags will not be displayed on the sales floor for the general public. In fact, most consumers will never be shown a Birkin handbag inside an Hermès retail store. Typically, only those consumers who are deemed worthy of purchasing a Birkin handbag will be shown a Birkin handbag in a private room. The chosen consumer will be given the opportunity to purchase the specific Birkin handbag which they are shown, Consumers cannot order a Birkin handbag at the retail location. For all practical purposes, there is no way to order a bag in the style, size, color, leather, or hardware that a consumer wants. Hermès sales associates are tasked by defendants with selecting those consumers who are qualified to purchase Birkin handbags. These sales associates are directed by defendants to only offer Birkin handbags to consumers who have established a sufficient purchase history or purchase profile with defendants of defendants' ancillary products, such as shoes, scarves, belts, jewelry, and home goods. Only once a consumer has a sufficient purchase history or purchase profile with defendants will the consumer be offered the opportunity to purchase a Birkin handbag. Now, these are my own comments. So, in my experience, Hermès is not the only luxury company that does this. For example, Chanel, you can't purchase Chanel handbags on a website. So I feel like this sort of lawsuit may have also been filed against a company like Chanel, because they seem to have somewhat similar practice here, where you don't necessarily go into a Chanel retail store and expect to find, for example, a black caviar gold double flap bag, which is one of their most classic bags. Now, back to the complaint. I'm going to read straight from the complaint once again. It alleges, quote, defendants have designed the compensation structure of sales associates to ensure that sales associates follow the defendant's policy of only selling Birkin handbags to consumers who have a sufficient purchase history of ancillary products. Hermès sales associates are paid by the hour and also receive a commission on their sales. The commission rates paid by defendants to sales associates differ based on the type of product sold. Sales associates get 3% on ancillary products like shoes, scarves, belts, jewelry. They're paid 1.5% commission percent on non-Birkin handbags, and they receive zero commission on the sale of Birkin handbags. Although Hermès sales associates receive no commission on the most valuable and sought-after products sold by their employer, they are instructed by defendants to use Birkin handbags as a way to coerce consumers to purchase ancillary products sold by defendants, for which they get a 3% commission, in order to build up the purchase history required to be offered a Birkin handbag. In this way, defendants are able to use their sales associates to implement defendants' illegal tying arrangement. So then we get into the next part, item D of the complaint, where they describe the plaintiff's activities in trying to purchase the Hermès handbags. So I'm going to again read straight from the complaint here. This is item D, plaintiff's attempts to purchase a Birkin handbag. Plaintiff Cavallari has spent tens of thousands of dollars at Hermès and had been coerced into purchasing ancillary products in order to obtain access to Hermès Birkin bags based on the practices alleged herein. In or about September 2022, plaintiff contacted Hermès about purchasing another Birkin bag, but was told specialty bags are going to, quote, clients who have been consistent in supporting our business. Plaintiff Cavallari understood that she would have to spend more on ancillary products to obtain access to another Birkin bag. As a result, Plaintiff Cavallari was unable to purchase a Birkin bag in September 2022. Then we move on to 2023. The second plaintiff, Mark Glinoga, sought to purchase a Birkin bag, was counseled by defendant sales associate to purchase these ancillary products in order to potentially obtain a Birkin handbag. Plaintiff Glinoga made multiple attempts to purchase a Birkin bag, but was told on each occasion he needed to purchase other items and accessories. As a result, Plaintiff Glinoga was unable to purchase a Birkin handbag. Plaintiffs are informed and believe, and on that basis allege, that defendants tied plaintiff's access to purchase a Birkin handbag to a requirement that they spend more on other items pursuant to the unlawful tying arrangement alleged herein. So That is the background and alleged basis for the lawsuit. Then the complaint goes on to outline all of the alleged causes of action. So the first one is the alleged violation of the Sherman Act, where the plaintiffs allege defendants have unlawfully tied their Birkin handbags to the ancillary products through their sales associate incentive program. A market exists for both the tying and tied products, the Birkin handbag and ancillary products, respectively. By the way, just as a side note, sometimes this complaint spells Birkin the correct way, Birkin, and other times they spell it Berkin. So, not sure who drafted this complaint, but it is misspelled for the record sometimes. Anyway, it goes on to allege that defendants willfully and intentionally engage in predatory, exclusionary, and anti-competitive conduct with the design, purpose, and effect of unlawfully maintaining its market and/or monopoly power. The availability of the Birkin handbags is conditioned on consumers purchasing ancillary products for defendants. In other words, consumers are coerced into purchasing ancillary products for defendants by virtue of wanting to purchase the Birkin handbags. This is anti-competitive tying product. The tying product, the Birkin handbag, is separate and distinct from the tied products, the ancillary products required to be purchased by consumers. Because consumers, such as plaintiffs, have alternative options for the ancillary products and would prefer to choose among them independently from their decision to purchase Birkin handbags. Then the complaint goes on to the Cartwright Act allegations, which are somewhat similar to the Sherman Act ones. And then at the end, as with all complaints, we have a prayer for relief with six items. So, first item is they want an order certifying an appropriate class or subclass, designating plaintiffs as the class representatives and their counsel as class. So, that's quite typical in a class action lawsuit. Item two, they want an order enjoining defendants from continuing to engage in the practices complained of herein. Item three, they want an award of restitution, damages, and disgorgement to plaintiffs and the class and subclass in an amount to be determined at trial. Four, they want an order requiring defendants to pay both pre- and post-judgment interest on any amounts awarded. Five, they want an award of costs and attorney's fees. And six, such other further relief as may be appropriate. So that is a tall order, in my opinion. So will this lawsuit change the way a lot of companies do business in terms of promoting exclusivity and scarcity? If the plaintiffs win this lawsuit, in my opinion, this is going to have major implications among so many other high fashion companies. And other businesses. Also, in my opinion, the way that Hermès has established their practices is one of the ways that makes the Birkin so attractive. Not everyone can go buy it, and that, in my opinion, is what makes it so alluring. Also, there are plenty of other Hermès bags you can go and purchase if you don't, like that practice, or if you don't want the Birkin bag. You can go to Bottega Veneta and get a bag, or any other high fashion company. So I think this will be interesting if they do end up settling. I fear this may spur more lawsuits like that against LVMH, for example, who of course own a lot of the major high fashion houses. I will definitely keep a close watch on this case. I will keep you posted on the details, which I'm sure will be fascinating. And we will definitely have to do a part two of this episode to see how Hermès responds to this complaint. So, on that note, let's finish off this episode. As always, thank you so much for tuning in and stay tuned for the next episode soon. Have a great day. Bye.